B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
They get you going.
That's a difficult thing to get through.
Every day.
That is 4 hours of conversation.
Toucher and Rich on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I want to apologize to all the fan supporters of Liverpool Football Club for the disruption I caused over the past 48 hours. Goes without saying, but should be said, that the project put forward was never going to stand without the support of the fans. No one ever thought differently in England. Over these 48 hours, you were very clear that it would not stand. We heard you. I heard you. In this endeavor, I've let you down. Again, I'm sorry, and I alone am responsible for the unnecessary negativity brought forward over the past couple of days. It's something I won't forget.
Just the complete lack of any kind of energy. Like, you're expecting him to just, like, at the end of it, fall over right on his face. Like, it was everything in him to make that statement. Just try to muster some sort of energy.
Did he do it in his pajamas? I mean, it kind of looked like he was on his yacht in pajamas and got rolled out of bed
to start feasting on the blood of the innocent. That guy, not only he's weak and pale. Yeah, I mean, maybe he's living the vampire lifestyle.
I mean, he's already carrying an umbrella around in the sunshine. He's halfway there.
Of course.
We're in the sun here.
Yeah. Listen, do you need any more evidence that John Henry is indeed feasting on the blood of the innocent while nobody is looking?
A vampire. All right. That's a good theory.
So this has been fun to watch. As I said, I don't really care about soccer. I want to care about soccer. I do. As a matter of fact, you know, I had two life checklists, two sports life checklists, and I did one. I wanted to go see a title fight in Las Vegas. Originally, it was boxing, but I ended up going out to go see Conor McGregor at one of the UFC fights out in Las Vegas, except Conor McGregor, the whole thing got switched, and he wasn't fighting, and I saw somebody else. It doesn't matter. It filled the requirement for me. The other one was right before COVID broke out, I had always wanted to go to an FC Barcelona game because I had heard from everyone that the fans are insane about that sport overseas. Like, the passion that people have for international soccer is just out of this world. And you see it from the media that covers it, from, you know, the fights that happen outside the stadiums. Apparently, it puts everything here to shame. So I paid more than I've ever paid for a ticket. I saved up for this. I really wanted to go, and I got one to El Clasico. I'm like, if I'm going to do this once in my life, I'm going to go to a good game. So it was like FC Barcelona, Madrid. It was supposed to be a big thing, and that all got shut down. So I want to like soccer. I really do. But I couldn't understand what the hell was going on with this whole Super League situation. All I know is that everybody, as Dan Lifshad said, outside of America is pissed at John Henry because he has become the face of this coup, what is obviously a blatant money grab that they were trying for him and 11 of his other wealthy buddies in order to essentially ruin the sport that all of these fans out there had loved and try this new Super League that really only benefited the people who are writing the checks at the top. And I've been enjoying it just because of the pure chaos. Dan Shaughnessy had an article today, and by the way, I think Dan Shaughnessy copped out because he never explained what was going on, because I don't think he can. I think he's kind of like me. It's like, it's kind of hard to put into words what's happening if you're not somebody who normally covers soccer. But the one thing he did have were quotes from a lot of different people who were over there, basically saying, and these are all, you know, on the ESPN over there, that John Henry may have to sell the team. He might not be able to ever recover from this. And so we've got some audio from some people overseas and just how insane they are.
Oh, yeah.
Let's first start with this, because, you know, if you think the Boston sports media is a pain in the ass, then, I mean, that's snack time compared to what we've got overseas. Like, they're ruthless. As a matter of fact, I don't even know what
Meghan Markle.
Sure.
I mean, about the media. Ask anybody in the royal family about the media in the UK.
That is an excellent point. And they already weren't fans of John Henry because he was an American who went over there, and they think of him as an outsider. You know, he's, you know, everyone always looks at a guy like Robert Kraft, and they praise him because he was a dude who sat in the stands, and he was a fan, you know, growing up here, and he seems to get the mark of a lot. John Henry's the opposite of that. And he's always been an outsider, and no one, and it just seems like they've always had a thing against him. So this, added to all of that, has just made it worse. So, Dan, you've got this clip. Apparently, one of the big tabloids over there sent a reporter overseas.
I wouldn't call it a tabloid. I'd call it the BBC.
Yeah, the BBC.
I'd call it the BBC.
That's the woman who chased John Henry up the street I was telling you about.
Okay, so this is the BBC. Okay, I thought this was like the Sun or something.
No.
So, think about that. Like, this is probably the most reputable place out there, and they're chasing John Henry. So just think of what the tabloids are doing. Here they are, staked out at Fenway, and I guess this was from the day before yesterday. And John Henry, the video is him pulling up in his car and being led inside Fenway Park while this person from the BBC is chasing him down the street.
Good evening, Mr. Henry. We're from the BBC. Any word for the fans? Any word for the fans, please? Is this the end of your plans for the ESL? Do you still intend to keep hold of your ownership in Liverpool? Mr. Henry, we couldn't hear you earlier. Is there anything you would like to say to the fans of Liverpool? Is there anything you would like to say? We can't hear you.
Yeah. He's probably yelling, but he's just so weak he can't hear him.
People carry him inside.
I was thinking about this before. You know, what an insult. So he ends up putting out that huge statement because everything around him is collapsing. What an insult that he still hasn't talked to the Boston media in 14 months.
What did I say in the 6 o'clock hour?
You just dismissed it
out of hand. Remember what this team went through last year, and as a result of that Betts trade, what they put on the field, it was insulting last year, and not a word from him.
I think, don't get it twisted, I think he's a good owner, and I think that
he's won four championships, but he's not above being criticized for this.
But what a dick move to come out and you make this big-ass long statement, and you still haven't talked to the Boston media.
He's sitting next to the dugout. He's doing interviews like there's no tomorrow. He sits down at picnic tables once a year and talks about how think about all the signage, all the championship stuff, all the bricks he's tried to sell. I mean, oh my God, how much publicity did he try and drive to this team, and it succeeded? Well, the fallout of that is you also get paid attention to when you lose.
Yeah.
And I swear to God, it wouldn't have taken much for him to just sit down and get beat up for about 20 minutes, and then his day would have been done and none of us would have cared.
Well,
and he never did that.
I mean, there's never been more blatant evidence of where his priorities are. I mean, if we know what his priority is now, well, it's obviously money, but right now, and now you got to say something. Now you got to say something to Red Sox fans. I mean, you went and made this big-ass statement international. By the way, if you want to know how people are reacting overseas, here is a little man on the street, just a quick clip. If we can even play most of this, a man on the street interview from over there.
Let me tell you something, you f***ing American, get the f*** out my club. I'm going back to fucking America.
We got to beep that a little bit.
What?
That's a little oops. If you didn't hear
it. That man is a potty mouth with no teeth.
Right. So I would say they're a little upset.
Yeah, bloody American.
And the difference, once again, is there's bad owners, and then there's ones that, like the national media, and actually a lot of people in Europe, not just the national media over there, is calling for him to sell the team. And this isn't just one of those things that's thrown out there and it gets dismissed after a while. I mean, this sounds pretty serious. So Gary Neville is a former player. He's on the ESPN over there. And he had this to say about what was going on.
Absolutely disgusted. I'm disgusted with Manchester United and Liverpool most. I mean, Liverpool, they pretend, you know, you'll never walk alone. The people's club, the fans' club. Manchester United, 100 years, born out of workers around here. And they're breaking away into a league without competition that they can't be relegated from. It's an absolute disgrace. And honestly, we have to wrestle back the power in this country from the clubs at the top of this league. It's pure greed. They're imposters. They're imposters. They're nothing to do. The owners of this club, the owners of Liverpool, the owners of Chelsea, the owners of Manchester City, they're nothing to do with football in this country. There are 100-odd years of history in this country from fans that have lived and loved these clubs, and they need protecting. The fans need protecting.
Okay, so there was, right after that, an ex-player who was on the Sky News, and he was talking about, and by the way, this is a clip that's been retweeted over and over again, and everyone's saying that this guy right here is talking about John Henry. Take a listen to this.
This is the culture. This is what football supporters care about at the moment. They don't care about this crazy scheme that was dreamt up on Zoom calls by owners who don't come to this country, don't set foot in their stadiums, and know nothing about English football. I'll just finish off by saying, one of these owners, I was told, an owner of one of these big six clubs, went to a game to watch his side, and he was sitting in the director's box, and he didn't know what colour shirt his side were playing in that day. He had to ask somebody sitting next to him, which team are we? And that just shows you how little they know about English football and how little they know about their clubs.
That doesn't sound like John Henry at all.
We're in the sun here.
That's a problem.
Does it sound like him?
That sounds like a problem to me. Yeah.
You know what? I think those fans have.
Let me tell you something. You American, get the.
Okay, I better stop it before the swear slips through again. Was that?
I was just going to say, I think they got a legit beef. You know, like the fans truly feel about this. And you know, not for nothing, but like, you remember how we used to make fun of like Dave Dombrowski for like talking to like Red Sox fans at Dunkin' Donuts? Mm-hmm. Like, he used to like listen to like what they had to say. Like, I don't know. I just look at John Henry and, you know, his wife Linda now and the Boston Globe and everything like that. And it's all just a farce, right? Like, we can say he's been a good owner, but like, they've had some losing seasons here. And
Stop about him not being a good owner. He was a great owner.
I think he stepped in it, Rich, a lot. I think you've stepped in it a lot.
Okay, so if you knew every... Listen, he needs to speak. You can't... That's being a total dick. Like, you can't go and completely freeze out after everything that's happened, the Mookie Betts trade, that weird-ass season we just had, getting rid of all these star players and the losing of last year. You can't avoid the media and then go when you're the soccer team, which is supposed to be, according to all of us, we thought that the Red Sox were always going to be the priority, and you don't even speak to them? Like, that is a dick move. Like, that is something you got to rectify immediately. But I'm not going to say that he's not a good owner.
I think the guy's a good businessman, but what, winning 1 year and losing 3 out of 5 years isn't great. I mean, it's not.
Dude, he's won 4 in the last 20.
Listen, the Bruins, Jeremy, do people want to call Jeremy Jacobs an owner? They've won 1 in 10 years. I mean, like, I know he spent the salary cap every single time. Every single team in this town has won a championship, so they're all great owners? Is that what we're going with at this point?
How about a team that hadn't won in how many years, and then they won
so because he wins one, and then they go in last place the next year, and he wins one.
4 and 20.
All I'm trying to say is the guy can't speak. He can't say anything. He writes checks. Like, he tried to get Billy Beane in here. How would have that worked out? He let Theo Epstein walk. Like, we can't just kiss the guy's ass because they've won 4 championships. They've also sucked in this town. And he bought Liverpool and knows nothing about it.
The Red Sox have sucked in this town. And by the way, the team completely crumbled, you're right, when Theo Epstein left. I mean, they didn't win anything.
But they went to last place. They brought in Bobby Valentine.
All right. And then what did they do the next year?
Yeah, they actually put it together and won a championship. Because he stayed out of it. Wallach, get your ass in this conversation.
I'm staying out of this.
Save me. I'm drowning.
I'm not drowning. I'm the one above water who knows what he's talking about. I'm telling you right now.
If you think I'm getting in the way of this tidal wave, you are out of your mind.
I'm telling you right now.
You're talking
John Henry
to a guy.
Knows nothing about sports, and he has to bring in guys in to save his ass.
Okay.
Okay, well, that's part of the game.
Here's how I see
this.
This is my opinion on this. John Henry has been a good owner who is currently not doing well.
Yes,
is currently
that's what I said.
Not is swinging the other way. His team has not played well. And I agree with you on this, Joe. He needed to speak to Red Sox fans a long time ago and hasn't. And it's embarrassing that he hasn't. And it's really been brought home after that 2-minute I'm trying to fall on my sword deal to the fans of Liverpool, who he'd never had until 10 years ago. He bought this team first and
let it go to rot after they won the whole World Series, which, by the way, came out of nowhere.
I don't know if I can trust a word you're saying, because during the break I saw you had a Red Sox mask on.
Yes, I did.
You and Dan Roche.
Yes,
apparently.
I had a Red Sox mask on. A nice older woman in my neighborhood made it for me.
If I may, one more time. John Henry is one fortune.
By the way, that's the average age of the current Red Sox fan. The grandmother who knitted that for me. It was very nice of her to do that.
That's right. It's your favorite team. She is the devil. That's true.
But if Murray, if you think I'm getting in the way of a Murray explosion, you're out of your mind. As I said, it happens once a show, and that was it. And I'm not stepping on you when that happens.
I don't want to yell. I do that on the weekends.
You have to save your energy. Like,
well, John, you're talking about barbecue and cookouts.
Be more like John Henry. Right. Come on, save that energy.
Mr. Henry, we couldn't hear you earlier. Is there anything you would like to say to the fans of Liverpool?
I'm yelling.
Mr. Henry, this is Boston Sports Radio. Have anything to say to the fans of the Red Sox? That'd be kind of nice.
Nick, come on. Get the scoop. Go out there. Go outside of Fenway. BBC beat us to the punch. Come on, Nick, what are you doing?
You're not going to have to run to chase him down, trust me, unless someone picks him up and carries him.
All right, Dane Brugler, he is an NFL draft guru. He's going to help us make sense of all of this. We're 1 week away from the big day, and many of the questions will be answered. We will talk to him right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
They get you going. They get you going every day.
Worse than me. Way worse than me.
Toucher and Rich.
And I don't look good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. And Walk and Joe Murray here. And we're 1 week away from hopefully having all these questions answered about the draft, whether or not Mac Jones is actually somebody that's going to get drafted third. That's the most hysterical. For some reason, of all the storylines, that's the one I'm most fascinated with. When all this started, everyone's like, yeah, Mac Jones. And all of a sudden, like, what? Three out of four of analysts are now saying that he's going third.
Even though all of them had him graded as a low first, high second round pick. You know what I'm saying? That in itself is remarkable.
It's absolutely fascinating. And if that happens, I'll be blown away. But then again, you know, where there's smoke, there's usually fire. But Dane Brugler, he's an NFL draft analyst for TheAthletic.com, and he joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Dane, let's start out with just kind of the big picture question, and that is, you've been obviously going through all of this for months now.
Well, let's stop there. It's the package that he has put forth from The Athletic is 267 pages long. He's rated over 600 players.
Oh, so you just started researching this last week?
He's got right. He's got a pronunciation guide for all the guys. He can tell you the name of the woman that Trevor Lawrence is going to marry. I mean, these are the details that you have in this package here.
Well, no details too small. This is look, I'm an NFL draft fan at heart, and so I try to create something that I would be interested in, that, you know, I would invest money in. And when I'm watching the draft, and if I don't know a player in drafting the sixth round, that's what this guide is for. It's a resource. You go to the that player's report, and you get his background info. All the NFL verified pro day data is in there. So very, very, very proud of this year's draft guide. So, and all you need is a subscription to The Athletic, and it's part of that subscription.
All right, since The Athletic obviously is a huge publication, do you ever get contacted by either agents or players who get mad at you for what you put in some of these reports?
Oh, 10 minutes after it was released. That's pretty much the norm. And I mean, parents, high school coaches, you know, it's just and I get it. You know, it's a very stressful time for a lot of these players, and they don't know where they're going to be drafted. Some are not sure if they're going to be drafted. And you know, I think in their minds, they think, oh, if I say something that maybe they don't agree with, that an NFL team's going to, which of course we know is not true. An NFL team, they do their own research. They do their own work. They're going to draft a player based on what they think, nothing that I put in this guide. But, yeah, you know, that comes with the territory, and it's just kind of part of this.
All right. I want to know how.
I just want to ask a specific. You said a parent has contacted you about something that you wrote about their son. Can you tell me what they were complaining about?
They couldn't believe that I had a few other players above them in the rankings. You know, it's more of like, how could you say, you know, this wide receiver is better than my that kind of thing, where it's really subjective, you know, obviously. And, you know, obviously they're biased with where they're coming from. And so you don't want to completely just say, well, it's pretty clear your son's not as good, but, you know, try to handle it with some sensitivity there.
All right. One quick question before we move on to the specifics of this thing. And by the way, when I say details, Rich, did you know that Justin Fields played baseball in high school and hit leadoff? These are the kinds of things that we read as part of this draft.
Yeah, because Harrison High School is my alumni.
Oh, of course, of course. That's my fault. But how does that conversation go? The athletic says, all right, then we want you to put together a guide, and you tell them all the stuff you're going to do, and then do they haggle over price? Do you get paid by the hour for this thing?
Well, no. I mean, I've been doing this since for about 15 years now, and it's grown every year. You know, I'm very, very proud of the extensive research that goes into it. Because, in my opinion, the most fascinating part of the draft process is learning about the background of all these guys. Because no two are alike. No two journeys to get to the doorstep of the NFL are the same. And so, I think in order to understand where these guys are headed, it's important to know where they're coming from and just, you know, adversities they've dealt with. Were they late to football? Have they been playing since kindergarten? Maybe they didn't start playing till their senior year. What are the certain bloodlines matter? All these things. It's just a really fascinating look into, you know, the person and not always just the player, but, you know, it's all relevant. And so, definitely proud about how this year has turned out, because this year is a little more challenging without the combine and without some of the steps that we usually have in the draft process. But, you know, it's a year-round process for me. I've already started on the 2022 version, because that's really what it takes to do this the right way, in my opinion, to do it the right way.
Well, Dane, when you do this much digging, you know, you're inevitably going to find some red flags that maybe not other people have seen. Is there anyone that stands out amongst some of the stars that are projected to go near the top of this draft that you were found while you were digging?
Yeah, and, you know, honestly, that's the biggest struggle that I have is what to, because I'm not in the business of, you know, damaging these guys' careers and, you know, really trying to slander them, you know.
But you have information, and that is something that if you find it, you can present it and let people draw their own conclusions. Was there a situation where you found something that kind of made you, with one of these stars, that kind of made you go, didn't really know that about this guy?
Well, the toughest part is when you hear it from scouts, and it's like, okay, well, you know, I trust this scout, and obviously he's done his digging, and he tells me this, and then, okay, I try to confirm it, which can be tough sometimes, but, you know, I think when you look at, like, you know, Micah Parsons, linebacker from Penn State, he obviously has some immature decisions in his background that, you know, have been an issue for him, whether it's, you know, from back in high school, you know, when he got to Penn State, and so it could be tough to, you know, just what you share, what you don't, you know, trying to confirm everything, because you don't want to put, you don't hear one thing and just throw it in there. You have to try and source it all. So it can be tough just determining what should be in there, what's relevant and what's not relevant.
All right, let's go to the quarterbacks, because, as you know, up here, that's a lot of what people care about. You have Lawrence and Wilson 1 and 2, but you have Trey Lance 3rd, Fields 4th, and Mac Jones 5th, and another guy who is getting some heat around here because he's been keeping in touch, apparently, with Josh McDaniels, is Kellen Mond. You have him with a 4th-round grade and the 8th best quarterback in the draft.
Yeah, you know, Kellen Mond's tough because he's you could watch one tape and say, okay, I get it. I understand where this optimism's coming from. You know, you throw in the Florida tape and you see that, the way he can layer throws, you know, in the deep game. You know, he's playing at a high level late in the game, helping A&M win and pull that upset over the Gators. But then you throw on the LSU tape, and it's like, okay, I feel like I'm still watching that sophomore that was making all these bad decisions and putting the ball where it doesn't need to be. And so that's my biggest issue with Mond, is just the inconsistency. Now, could he go to the right system and they figure out a way to iron out those issues? Sure, it's definitely possible. And I think there's a good chance Kellen Mond ends up as a top 75 pick, probably somewhere in the second round, because the team is going to be willing to bet on just the raw talent. But to me, the inconsistencies are a big issue, and that's why I couldn't go higher than a fourth-round grade. But I think when you look at this quarterback class, we're going to set some records here. We've never seen quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, 4. That would be a record. We've never seen 5 quarterbacks go top 10. That would be a record if it happens, it comes to fruition. And then we've never seen 7 or more quarterbacks go in the first 2 rounds, and that seems like it's an attainable goal this year with some of the teams in the second round, including the Patriots and maybe the Bears, maybe Washington, maybe the Vikings, could potentially look at a Kellen Mond, a Davis Mills, maybe even Kyle Trask. So just a fascinating quarterback class we have this year. And it all starts at number 3 with the Niners. What are they going to do? And, my first thought, my initial thought when the trade was made was, oh, this has to be Trey Lance. That makes the most sense to me, understanding Trey Lance and what he does best, the strength of his game, and what Kyle Shanahan really values in his quarterbacks. But then the chatter started with Mac Jones. And it's not a media creation. It's not, this is all coming from what NFL teams are thinking, what people in the league believe Kyle Shanahan is kind of leaning towards. And that's still where the chatter is. And honestly, I wouldn't be surprised at any of the 3 quarterbacks, just because I think Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch are the only people that know what they're going to do. And, everybody else is guessing. So I wouldn't be surprised at any of those 3, talking about Fields, Lance, and Mac Jones. But the 2 names that teams talk about the most at number 3 are Mac Jones and Trey Lance. You don't hear a lot of Justin Fields aside from Twitter. So it's really going to be fascinating to see next Thursday night how it plays out.
Well, Dane, when you dig this deep into the NFL draft, you're obviously taking a look at the individual teams themselves, what their needs are, what their tendencies are, whether they are known to trade up, trade down, and how all that would work out. This is going to sound like a general question, but it's the one that everyone wants to know here. If you had to predict, what are the Patriots doing on Thursday night?
Well, and we talk about how, the Bill Belichick and his tenure as a head coach, both in Cleveland and, in New England, he has never really been, the highest he's drafted quarterback was the 2nd round. That was Jimmy Garoppolo. So he hasn't really been that aggressive guy to go get the quarterback early. And obviously, I think it's a flawed way to look at it, just because he had Tom Brady for, 20 of those years, basically. And, maybe the fact that he did spend a 2nd round pick on a Jimmy Garoppolo when Tom Brady was still playing at a high level tells you he is willing to be aggressive if the right value is there, if the right quarterback is there. And so it's going to be really interesting with one of these quarterbacks falls to pick 7 or 8. If that's where the Patriots look to make their move and get the guy. I mean, first off, we just don't know how the Patriots view these quarterbacks. Is there one they really like? Would they be happy with either Trey Lance or Justin Fields? We just don't know that. And then would they be willing to give up that draft capital that it would take to get up to that 7th or 8th pick ahead of the Broncos, ahead of some of these other teams that could potentially take a quarterback, ahead of some other teams that might be looking to trade up, like a Washington? So, I think if just for hypothetical, let's say that at number 3, Mac Jones is the pick to the Niners. Let's just say Trey Lance goes 4. The Bengals aren't taking a quarterback at 5. The Dolphins aren't taking a quarterback at 6. 7 and 8, that becomes the sweet spot where maybe a team looks to trade up, and the Patriots are certainly in that conversation as a possibility. And, Justin Fields, if he's there, do they like him enough to make that investment? That's kind of what we're guessing at right now.
Hey, Dane, as always, talk about 1st and 2nd round. I actually wanted to look at some sleepers in this year's draft, and I know there's a lot of local talent. We know about Freiermuth. He's a North Shore kid here. Hunter from BC is another one. And then there's a big lineman from UMass and also Merrimack. Tell us about some of these kids and some other sleepers in this year's draft.
Yeah. Larnell Coleman from UMass, one of my favorite sleepers this year. 6'6", 307, Massachusetts native. he was more of a basketball player growing up, and then he started to really buy into football being his future. Wasn't highly recruited. He was actually a defensive lineman for the most part in high school. Goes to UMass, switches from D-line to offensive line, and you know he's a three-year starter, mostly at left tackle. He's a big guy, 6'6". 35.5-inch arms, and he moves pretty well. He's very raw. But talking to people with that coaching staff and in that program, you know, they say that he got better every day. And that was, you know, the really optimistic part about Larnell Coleman was just how much better he bought in, he was working, and he improved on a daily basis. And so I think when you're seventh round, a patient coaching staff, you invest in this kid, and you know, develop him, and you might have something 2-3 years from now. Sam Cooper from Merrimack, a guard who has a little bit of with his backstory, his father being murdered, his brother dying of cancer. It's a sad story, but he's used that to kind of fuel his NFL dream. And you know, he's got some interesting tape. And if he doesn't get drafted, his phone will be blowing up right after the draft for a free agent contract. So
sounds really, like a Belichick really cool guy, doesn't it? Doesn't it sound like Belichick material
exactly.
Right there?
Yes. Mm.
There you go.
Made for him. All right, Dane. Well, this draft thing you put together is awesome. It's comprehensive, and that's not even a good enough word to describe it. 200-something pages.
267. Oh,
real quick before you go, from all your research, which team's going to blow it? Like, which team do you predict has the highest potential for absolutely blowing it on Thursday?
Well, I'm looking at the Jaguars, and they're going to hit the number one pick with Trevor Lawrence, right? But then they have four other picks in the first three rounds. Urban Meyer, we just don't know as a head coach and as a key decision maker, what's that going to look like? They have to hit on these other picks to give Trevor Lawrence the support that he needs and to kind of take this next turn. So I don't know that they're going to blow it, but I'm most interested to see the Jaguars and what they do with that second first-round pick and those three other picks they have on day two.
Oh, yeah, because we've already heard Shad Khan's going to be looking over his shoulder the entire time. Perfect. He said he wanted to be hands-on, and it always works out well when the owner says he wants to be hands-on with any of these picks. Just ask Jerry Jones. All right, well, Dane Brugler, fantastic stuff. You got to read his stuff at theathletic.com. He is the NFL Draft Analyst Supreme, and we appreciate you coming on, man. Thanks a bunch.
Thanks, Dane.
Anytime. Take care, guys.
All right, we'll see you. Yeah, this thing is it's just
beyond
massive.
Crazy.
Oh, yeah. Like I used to think Kevin O'Connor was the king of draft guides.
This blows that out of the water.
This is the War and Peace of draft guides.
And by the way, one other thing that we didn't get to, the other guy I see going to the Patriots, if they stay put, is that defensive back, J.C. Horn, Joe Horn's kid. Yeah.
They worked him out.
His comp is Aqib Talib. So I would be all in on bringing in Aqib Talib.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and plus J.C. Jackson and Gilmore's future.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So they stayed 15.
All right, here's Joe Murray with your headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
That's got to be a soul-killing exercise.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich, and we got Danny Ainge, who's going to be on with us in about 15 minutes. We can talk to him about how the Celtics have been lately. Also, Jake DeBrusque calling in around 9:35. It's always kind of floating around that area. It's usually a mystery whether he calls in or not, but I agree with you, John. I think that the way that the team has been playing, he will definitely want to try to get that TNR bump.
Doesn't want to ruin the mojo. Doesn't want to, he's, one thing we know, very superstitious. So.
Yep. Last time we had him on, remember, he scored that overtime goal from not too long after
shootout,
that.
Shootout goal.
Shootout goal. That's right. John, I don't think you've noticed this. And to be quite honest, there aren't many people in my life who have noticed this with me. But I've got kind of this weird thing that I've done for, boy, I think ever since I was maybe a teenager. It might be right before high school. There's got to be a medical name for it. It's almost a tic, and it's something that I have, and it's fairly subtle, but it's like with my fingers, there's this thing that I do where I keep my thumb on my ring finger, and I always have like a song in my head, and when it's there, I'm subtly playing the song on my fingers. Like if the note goes low, I go down to my pinky, and if it's high, I go up to either my middle finger or my pointer finger. And I keep it kind of when I'm standing still behind my leg, and I do that. And I don't know if many people have noticed. It took years until my wife noticed. And it's something I don't know that I'm doing, but I do it constantly.
What kind of music?
Anything. It could be something I heard on the radio.
Yeah, but it's the left side of your brain. You're a musician.
Interesting. Well,
but it's this thing that I constantly am doing, and I don't realize I'm doing it. And it's weird. When somebody actually sees me do it, it's been very rare. I think only a couple of people. I know that my father once noticed it, and Mary has noticed it. And I don't know if you guys have ever noticed it, but no. I do it all the time.
Well, Rich, it has been a while since we've seen you.
Notice that. We haven't seen you in a year.
I don't know. On Zoom, there's only so much I can view. I got to be honest with you. I'm kind of hamstrung by this.
I'm picking up what you're putting down. Like, okay. When I hear, like, a music note, now, granted, I have to be listening to music, but when I hear a note, I go, I'm like, da-da, bump, bump, with my hands. I do that all the time, or a drum cymbal, I'll hit a crash out of nowhere, you know what
you
I mean?
You do. Like, so that's, like, I guess it manifests itself physically in your body, something that you're thinking about.
Yeah, but it's like walking and chewing bubblegum, like, you know, doing two things at once. You have the ability to, like, do that while you're thinking of something else.
See,
you
know what I mean?
Right. It's become subconscious. Like, it's part of it that I can be doing other things and be playing a song on my right hand that's hiding behind my leg. And I think it transitioned to that. Because before that, I remember I got in trouble one time in seventh grade because I used to all the time. I got in trouble one time because I had marked up my desk so much because I had a song in my head and I was taking a pencil and I was writing little dots and dashes and the dash would be higher up on the desk from where the note was and lower for where it was.
Always
and
I would a like musician. Always. Always a musician.
But it's not even that. It's something that there's got to be a medical name for it, that these things in my head manifest themselves physically, and it's something that's strange. I even kind of think in a weird way. Like now, it's gotten to the point where I used to think of like when a song was in my head, I would think of it in dots and dashes like that. But now that I've worked with like editing software, everything is like on a grid. So like I it's weird. I don't even think I'm doing it, but it's true. When I hear a song, I immediately see the top four lines are the vocal layers. Like one's in green, one's in blue.
Like, oh,
one's
is that
in
a
yellow.
Drop D? Or like, that's how I kind of hear things.
It's weird. So I have this tick that I have, and I've been trying to figure out a way to kind of be more healthy with this tick. I've done a pretty good job hiding it throughout most of my life. But I mean, it's just one of those things that I've done a lot of research into that. So the one thing that I've always done, and this is really embarrassing because this has been something that I've been busting in, is that whenever there's something in my head, sometimes to make it go away, I'll have to record it and that way it's done. Cause I almost think I'm going to forget this. And I'm like, why do I need to know this? I used to call. So when I was, before Mary and I were married, like when I was just out of college, I used to pick up the phone and I would call my, voicemail system. This is back when you used to have a phone that, you know, wasn't everyone didn't have a cell phone. Okay. And I would leave a message to myself saying nonsense, like, and I remember I used to do that, and I would try to rush home as fast as I could so I could delete it before my roommate got there. But there was one time where he was like, dude, what the hell is this weird ass crap that you left like 2.5 minutes of you going scoop? And so I had to try to figure out other things. So I bought a little recorder that I would keep it in there. Real quick, let's go to Gary. Gary on line one. He said, might answer my tick problem. Gary, what is this? What is there a name for this?
You're self-regulating. It is in the OCD family. Like, you almost can't move on to other things unless you satiate that obsession. It's almost a sensory blocker. So to get through it, you need to walk through those things. And sometimes people have them. They're only 3 to 5 seconds, and then more severe, you can't leave your house. Like, unless you hear a song and it ends a certain way, et cetera. But it's really for you to self-regulate your nervous system to move on into whatever you're doing.
Well, thank goodness it's not. Thank you, Gary. Thank goodness it's not to a point where I can't leave or anything. But as I said, I was trying to research healthy ways to regulate this. And I can't believe I'm talking about
it. I think you're going down a real slippery slope. I mean, you're like you're peeling layers back on yourself and kind of doing a deep dive. That's dangerous sometimes. Well,
the only reason I'm saying this is that it got to a point the other night where I was like, all right, well, now this has gotten kind of out of control. So, you know, I have this program now because, you know, with computers, you can just, instead of calling your voicemail, you can just do it. I have this computer now that might have hundreds of hours of 45-second songs on them, like some only one instrument. And when if I ever died and someone found it, they'd think I was a mental patient because it's just these notes and stuff all around. Mm-hmm. So I tried to figure out some sort of way to turn these things into something that makes me feel satisfied at the end of it. And there's some things that we say on the show that stick in my head. And I, all right, I can't believe I'm going to play this. So, like, I just started trying to figure out a way to make it healthy. And I started writing commercials. I know I kind of joke about it.
For what?
Just stuff.
Okay.
Using the weird stuff that's been popping in my head. And I'll play one for you.
Okay.
You know what? Let's do it.
I'm not going to say no.
I'm in.
Yeah, let's hear it.
This is kind of, I'm not joking, and I'm not playing it up. This is tough for me. All right. All right, here we go.
All right.
Walden, local meat. Meat, meat. Give me some meat. Who likes meat? Yeah, we like meat. It's WaldenLocalMeat.com. Walden, local meat. Meat, meat. Give me some meat. Who likes meat? Yeah, we like meat. It's WaldenLocalMeat.com.
Hey, it's Rich. Listen, we're all looking to eat better in 2021. For starters, I recommend getting a meat share from Walden Local Meat. They deliver right to your door by hand at no charge. That's WaldenLocalMeat.com.
Walden Local Meat.
I think
Hold on. Stop. This was a 7-minute run up to a company that you endorse. That's what this was?
No. This is what I have to do.
This was a 7-minute run up for a Walden Local Meat commercial.
That's what this was. That was like a Kowloon ripoff.
That's a Kowloon. That's exactly what that was.
You know why I did it? Because I'm like,
Hasn't paid you enough recently?
No.
Come on.
You know, guys, Walden, I like to eat a lot. You know that? I like to drink Scorpion Bolts. I got this tick, you know? I got this tick. I really love Song and Swing. You know?
Duck sauce, Joe. Go with the duck sauce.
That's right.
Write a song about it.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to a drive-in with my bro.
As I understand it, they're open at 11 a.m. this morning. Yeah.
You know what else? You're shameless.
You know?
That's awful.
It would be shameless if I didn't have 45 more of these.
All about Walden, I assume.
Nope.
Oh, really? No.
Okay, so Rich, I know we have to wrap this up. It's called the Calm app. You need to get out of your own head.
During the last year, I downloaded the Calm app. They're not paying me for this at all. It works.
John,
it's good. It really relaxes
you. If you think I'm joking, I'm not.
So if you want cash, just get upside. Or get a upside. Or get upside. And a promo code 985. Did I mention the app's called Get Upside? So if you want cash, just get upside. If you want cash, cash, cash. You're going to get cash.
Wait a minute.
Cash, cash, cash. You're going to get cash.
You
get upside.
You
get
endorse
upside.
These guys
and
too.
A promo code 985.
Yes, this is.
Did I mention the app's called Get Upside?
This is so embarrassing, cash, is what this upside. Is. This had nothing to do with anything. You just gave extra time to two companies that you endorse.
Because I'm trying to find a healthy way to get this stuff out of my head.
No, it's just like, a healthy way to get you to extend the contract and the buy with the radio station.
You bet your ass. I'm like, what if I made commercials with the stupid stuff that's in my head? It's the only healthy way to find out how to do it.
Right. Okay.
I can play for you just wah, wah, and all the 45 minutes. And I was like, what if I just like tried to turn it into something that actually would help me out? And I'm like, what if I like tried to make that commercial?
Help you make some more money.
Rich, I'll tell you, I think it was very good.
It's awful. No. Now, I will say this. Joe's right about that. The commercials are good.
Walden.
Oh, jeez.
And local meat, give me some meat. Who likes meat? Yeah, we like meat. It's WaldenLocalMeat.com.
Jesus, God, Rich. You should be ashamed of yourself.
I have, like, hours of
this is blatant.
Songs like this with no... I just put words to the stuff.
Weren't we just talking about money grabs? That's what this is. This is a blatant money grab.
Hopefully it's a money grab. I would like to put my neuroses to actually make some business, like, make some money off of it. It's the one healthy thing.
Here it is. You had me feeling bad for you. You know, this is really a struggle. Oh, my God. I'm really having problems. I have this tick, you know, with the hand behind the back, and I play music. And all it is like a 7-minute commercial for people you already endorse.
Can you bring this up on Monday
off
when Fred's
the
back,
books.
Please?
Yes.
Please bring this
I
back
think
on
we should
Monday.
Bring this up when Fred gets back. I'm sure he'll have a couple of words to say about this.
If I
this
am
is
trying
embarrassing.
To figure out a way to turn something healthy into money, so that's is that a bad way to do it? Is that a bad turn? Turn your neuroses into something that could actually help you out in life?
I'm told we have to break. I'd like to go another 20 minutes on this. I'm told we have to break because we have Danny Ainge coming up.
Walden. meat. Give me some meat. Who likes meat? Yeah, we like meat. It's
here
Walden
comes Danny Ainge.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.